welcome to December's Library Chat, the monthly podcast by the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, where we chat about books and podcasts with library staff and guests. I am Sarah Williford, Library Director, and here with me today for our episode are some familiar voices if you listen to our library podcasts. Denise Bean, our Youth Services Librarian.
Hi.
Leslie Heinzler, our Special Services Librarian.
Hello.
Tyler Sweat, our Accessible Media Specialist.
Hi.
So, just really recap really quick. In October, we celebrated our one-year anniversary of Library Chat in a fun way, and we invited all of our library staff team members to join us by interviewing each one and asking them a few questions about books and reading. It was so much fun that we decided to keep going throughout the year. So, we're inviting staff members to come to our monthly Library Chat, and we're letting them pick the topic and podcast, and they're joining us for our conversations about books and podcasts. And we get to ask them a few questions along the way. So again, we're going to invite different staff members to join us each month and let them pick our topic for Library Chat. So last month, Library team member Tim West joined us for November's Library Chat, and we had a great conversation about music podcast, books. And our special guest today is the library team member, Leland Smith. Leland is our Instructional Materials Center Service Specialist, and he has been in this position for about 2.5 weeks. Wow. So Yay. We are very excited to have him joining with the library team and joining us today. So welcome, Leland.
Thank you.
Welcome. We're going to start with some questions first, just about yourself and your position. And we were just joking, since you've been in the position for 2.5 weeks, one of these questions might be a little tricky, but that's okay. So the first one is just, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right. So as you said, my name is Leland. I grew up here in Iowa in Newton on a farm. Which, of course, yeah, I do all the fun farm things, like, you know, feeding the animals, baling hay, feeding more animals, baling more hay. It was a blast, let me tell you.
It sounds fun.
Scooping poop.
Oh, nice.
The other fun farm
that sounds really fun.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Those bring back good memories. Anyways.
Especially the smells.
Yes, yes. I've been blind since I was 6, and I actually didn't start reading Braille until I was 18. So that's another fun little fact about me. I love Braille. I'm a very strong advocate for Braille. And I recently have gotten a pet kitten.
You got a kitten?
I do.
What's their name?
Her name's Yuki.
Yuki.
Yes.
Good cat name.
It is a great cat name.
It's a good cat name.
Aww. Yeah.
It means snow.
Oh. Is she white?
She is white.
She fluffy?
With a black tail, long hair.
Wow.
With a little gray, like, black striped little circle by her ear. Oh. And on the other side, there's a little bit of yellow.
She sounds adorable.
With a little black speck on the nose.
Aww.
So, that's been pretty fun. I used to have hedgehogs. But mm-hmm. I don't have hedgehogs anymore.
The kitten sounds more cuddly.
But I don't know. I used to call off the hedgehogs, so Aww. It's a thing. But, kitten.
Nice.
So now we know. My secret's out. I'm a cat lover.
Cat guy.
Yeah, they like cats up there on 4th floor.
Perfect.
Yes, perfect.
Perfect. That is true. That is a pretty...
There's a lot of cats.
Heavy. Cat
a lot of cats.
Oh, I thought you were going to go into library. Excellent. And cats.
Oh,
cat
yeah. Ladies. That is a big stereotype.
Oh, yeah. That's just saying, like, the IMC. Angie has, like, 6 cats, I think.
She would like She's working towards that goal,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I think it's 3.
Okay.
She wants 6.
But she's getting this.
And you just have one?
Yes.
You have work
so far,
to do.
Right?
No. If it was up to my mom, I would have 12 by now.
Oh.
One kitten. You know, I almost didn't even want the cat.
Farm cats are different, though,
than
everyday cat.
They are. Yeah. It's funny because I went home for the holidays, and I came back with a kitten.
There you go.
Wasn't really planned, but she's like, Hey, there's a kitten. I'm like, I don't want to see it. I'm like, look at it. I don't want to see it. And then she comes back holding this kitten. She's like, look at the kitten. I'm like, I don't want it. She drops it. I grab it. And next thing I know, it's sleeping on me. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Well, that this comes like home with me. Cat.
That's like going to the animal shelter and just looking. We're just going to look.
We're not taking that cute puppy home with us.
It never just stops at looking. Moral of the story. I tried.
So, on to kind of your library. So, library position. So, my question to the other staff members was, what do you do at the library?
I just wanted training. To hear. Training is what I do.
I'm just a library director. I would love to know, in the 2.5 weeks, what you're doing. How do you feel?
Well... From what I have experienced thus far, I do a lot of things with Braille books and processing. So whenever we get books and orders in to process and input into our system, and put little labels on boxes and tape them up and mail them back out, it's a lot of box.
And these are going to our students, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Hopefully. Hopefully. If I got the label on there right.
Also working on your certification.
My Braille transcription certification. Nice. Yeah. Which I glad to report finished lesson 3.
All right.
I'm going to sit on it, review it tomorrow, make sure I didn't make any errors, and you have that submitted. So.
Nice.
All right.
It's been a pretty fun time in these last 2.5 weeks.
And just for our listeners, I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but just really quick, the Instructional Materials Center is a part of the library that provides accessible educational materials to students pre-K through 12th grade and post-secondary. So we receive orders from around the state for students, and then our job is to get them the format they need. Could be Braille, large print, electronic text, electronic Braille, audio, and so that's our role. And one of the things that Leland's talking about mailing it out is one of the keys to that is making sure that our students that we're serving have it when their sighted peers have it in the classroom. So
yes,
so I don't know if we've ever gone into what the IMC IMC does. So
yes, also with all these fun tasks that I get to do. I have a lot of fun little tools that I get to use. So the different embossers, the paper cutter, the power stapler, that's a thing.
Oh, it sounds so cool.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what is this?
I know.
Power stapler? What?
Move your fingers.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun playing with all the fun little tools in the process. So.
And your binder.
And
the
comb binder, a little bit up with spines, and put those right into the books. It's fun.
Well, we're glad you're joining us and part of the team. So,
definitely.
Welcome. So again, during our October podcast, we interviewed the other members of the library team, and they answered a few questions about books and reading. So since you missed out on those interviews, we thought we'd just do it right now.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
I'm
so
ready.
Our first question is, what is your favorite author of all time?
So I probably have to say, it's going to sound bad, being my favorite author, I can't think of his last name right now, but it's Larry C. I think it's Corius, something like that. Really amazing author. And I found him, again, by coincidence, just Googling random terms for books, and it came up. I was like, hey, I'm going to check this out. And turned out to be my favorite book ever. And the series is still going.
What's the title of the book? Yeah.
The series is The Monster Hunter International.
Wait, I think I've read those.
Yes. It's quite a great book series. The writing's really good. The author brings a lot of his own personal passions into the books.
which
genre?
So kind of an action-y, mystery kind of genre.
Suspenseful.
Yes. Yeah. Some romance in there.
Okay.
But very much action-y.
What was the name of the series again?
Monster Hunter International.
I have read the first one. It's Larry Correa, C-O-R-R-E-I-A. Hmm. And the series is Monster Hunter International. And there, it was good.
Yes. And it only gets better, Sarah.
So how many books are there on your
I think we are up to 6 or 7.
Very good.
They released one in August. That I actually did not realize until I randomly was searching the order of the books again, and I'm like, wait, what's this book?
Nice.
That happens a lot. He also does a really great job, and this is something I love with a lot of authors, when they write a long series, they keep the material going, the story going, and then they pull from stuff from the old series, just like hinting at future things to come. Mm-hmm. Like leaving those nice gaps, right, to then just be like, oh, by the way, this is a thing. What? You know, I just fits in so well. Yes. Yeah. It's like, wait, I never even thought about this. Mm-hmm. What? Like, clearly there's this little gap here where they can throw in, you know, something later on, but you don't really notice the gap until it gets filled, and you're like, oh my gosh, how did I never think about this?
So just really quick, here's a quick paragraph. With the clock ticking towards Armageddon, Owen finds himself trapped between legions of undead minions, belligerent federal agents, a cryptic ghost who has taken up residence inside his head, and the cursed family of the woman he loves. Business is good. Welcome to Monster Hunter International.
That sounds good.
It is, like I said, quite
I'm
going to
check that out.
Especially if you like good action scenes, quite a bit of that. And then there's even some good romance in there, here and, you know, sprinkled throughout. Can't have a good story without some romance. but that would probably be my favorite author. And I recently heard from a friend who started reading some of his other books and told me I had to check out a different series by him.
Okay.
So I have high hopes.
I have a long car ride coming up.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Okay, so what genres do you love?
Well,
monsters.
Monsters. I mean, I love lore, okay? When a book can tie in, like, lore from different cultures, love it so much. I think that's what really hooked me with the Monster Hunter series, is because of just little tidbits of lore, the obscure lore, too. The Dresden Files, that series also does a lot of the same.
You heard that.
Tyler would like the
Dresden Files. Yeah. That one's about a private detective who's a wizard.
All right, I can do it.
Just saying. It sounds kind of odd, but it oddly works quite well.
Nice.
Another series, just anything with lore. So fantasy, love fantasy, action. Trying to think. Supernatural, sci-fi.
Yeah.
So can I go off on a tangent for a second?
Go for it.
Because you just mentioned Lake Supernatural. Yes. And we pointed to Salem's Lot.
I'm
almost there. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Wait, wait, wait.
Did you get to the part with the window?
I've not got there yet.
Sorry.
It's a topic. Like, for someone who I only read nonfiction usually, like, this is a good little, like, you know, different vibe, so.
Yeah.
Can't remember which podcast, but we did I haven't read it
like last week. Oh. I didn't get any time to do it, so I need to get...
Okay.
Maybe if the power goes out tonight, I'll...
You might have time.
Get a candle and
strike a match.
The dark house with the wind blowing.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. And then the next day, you can come in and be like, guys, I got you the part about the window.
Yeah.
My window blew in.
Yeah, my window exploded. Yeah.
I didn't mean, but I just had to check in on Salem's Lot.
But honestly, as favorite genres, if someone is passionate enough about a book, I'll read it. I will sit down and I will
sit down and read it. That's good.
And probably enjoy it. Even if it's not my cup of tea, I can definitely find parts I enjoy about things. So
okay, we'll start recommending.
That is how my... I got convinced in middle school to read Twilight, so I read the whole saga, And honestly, I would not have picked it up like just by myself. It wasn't bad. There's parts I enjoyed.
It wasn't bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's a good fun read.
It's good. Yeah. Okay, so our last question. Mm-hmm. Since you now work in the library, you're going to get the question, what is a good book to read? And what would be your go-to recommendation?
Okay. So I've kind of talked about my favorite book series already. Kind of go-to read. So I'm going to pull another one out called The Wheel of Time. Has anyone heard of The Wheel of Time?
I've heard of it. Just because of you. The
just
other day, we were talking about it.
I love talking about it. Okay. So, this is a 13-book series. Pretty sure it's 13. Might be more. But the books themselves are all, like, 800-plus pages.
Wow.
They are massive books. And it's very high fiction. So, it's a lot of, like, very similar to, like, Lord of the Rings kind of style. And all the books are just so amazing.
I read the first one.
It is so hard to sit down and read them all because it's so long. It is so worth it. The author takes a lot of good time to really get you invested in not just one character, not two, but basically
lots
the whole set of characters.
Universe worth
the whole
characters.
Universe. Every single character. And even if you just get mentioned once in book two, all of a sudden in book eight, they're back, and it's like, wait, what? Like, they're having a big role? Like, I don't get this. Like, what?
So notes should
it's
be
amazing.
Taken.
Yes, honestly, like, honestly. I've actually sat back down with friends, going back through it, reading it, and every time I reread it, I always pick out something new out of every book. It's just like, oh my gosh, I get this now. Like, this that part that I was just like, this is kind of, you know, off the wall, like, not related. It's related. You just don't know it. It's very well written. Also, the last three books were written by a different author because the original author ended up passing away before it was finished. But before he passed away, he actually found a successor to the series and was like, you are going to be the one to finish this. Here's all my notes. We got some time and just spent a huge amount of time with this author. And so it was originally written by Robert Jordan, but it was finished by Brandon Sanderson. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of myself. I remember
I names.
Say,
like,
yeah, you
don't know authors' names. You're
don't tell them that I was looking this up earlier. I was prepared. Yeah. So I would definitely recommend it. At the very least, if you have the ability to put in the time, it's not something that you can just sit down and read one.
I have the first one in print, if anybody
wants to take on the adventure. I am pretty good at reading through whole series, sitting down and reading them. Problem is, with this book series, I think I had to try three times. Because I would get to eight, and I'd be like, oh, I got something else I want to read. Mm-hmm. And then I'd come back to you, I'm like, wait, what's going on? So I jump back a couple books.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you imagine being a fly great. On the wall listening to them talk about these final books. And that would just be crazy. These two authors and their egos probably together.
Yes.
Trying to...
And just talking about the notes. Also, I have to say, the author who picked it up really tried hard to make the series sound the same and write very similar, and he did an excellent job. Like, you don't really notice a big difference in the writing, which is nice. You can definitely tell there was a lot of love that went into that book. That's why I would recommend it. If people have the time.
I got you.
Yeah.
That's good. No, that's good.
Okay, so this is the part where you're going to share with us what topic you've chosen, and then we'll talk about the books and the podcast. So what topic did you choose for us to explore?
So the topic I chose is kind of the self-improvement kind of a genre, seeing how I also tend to lean towards a lot of self-improvement books, also just ideas, philosophy, research on stuff like that, because I like to have a good open mind and different ways of viewing just life situations. So I suggested this wonderful podcast called The Stoic Coffee Break. It's a very excellent podcast. Episodes are really short, but there's quite...
Which is a favorite of this podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
When the guests, when the guests don't do four-hour podcasts to listen to.
Shorter the better.
Yeah. I mean, don't worry. There was another podcast that could have suggested. That was, no, very lengthy, but
it's funny,
I stuck to this.
Sarah goes, yeah, you'll like these. They're 5 minutes long.
5 minutes.
It's like sold.
Put on 1.5 times speed, you'll get right through.
Right through.
It's good.
Boom.
I'm so focused the whole time.
I listened to two of them. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah, I liked it, though.
Yeah.
Me too.
Did you listen to the first two? Or did you pick and choose?
I think I listened to the newest two.
Okay, that's good. Because you can really jump in with it wherever.
Yeah, it's one of those, you don't... Yeah.
Here's a topic, let's talk about it, here's some thoughts, some examples.
Mine was like a Marcus Aurelius quote, and then a little talking about it. Yeah, so it was good.
Well, I'm glad you said self-improvement, because that's the direction I went when I was thinking about books. Because Leslie and I were talking about the books. I'm like, what books fit in with this podcast? Because I hadn't dove into the podcast yet. Uh-huh. And we started talking about the two titles we read for... we did IDB Reads for staff, kind of a staff book group, and there were two that we read for that. One was Tiny Habits, The Small Changes That Change Everything by B.J. Fogg. And the other one was Designing Your Work Life, How to Thrive and Change and Find Happiness at Work by Bill Burnett and Dave Evans. And we did a book discussion about those, and I was trying to remember. There was one of them I liked, but I thought, because I always think about how I'm going to apply it to my life, and I think it was the Tiny Habits.
That one was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot of action steps. Tiny Habits.
Yes.
A lot of tiny
sounds
steps.
Tough. Yeah. It's like what? And if
to
you
get
guys
to the final outcome.
Wasn't there a lot of cheering after you did each tiny thing?
Yeah, there was.
And if you know me, that's
it's not what you.
Woo all the ways, right?
Go, Sarah.
Go, Sarah.
Good job.
You get a star.
But Designing Your Work Life, that one was more, around thriving and change, and it used the design thinking process. Mm-hmm. Leslie and I both went to training on that, so I think that one fit into what I already knew, how you utilize curiosity, reframe, what else is there, radical collaboration, awareness, prototyping, and storytelling. So those are good ones. I don't know if you guys didn't do those two.
Another excellent book that would also fit in is called Hyper-Focused. And it's all about talking about that mindset of, hyper-focusing. And talking about how to get into that mindset of flow. Hmm. Where you're sitting down, working on something, you're just cranking it out. A lot of people get into that mindset when they have a paper to write and they have 3 hours left. And they just sit down, they crank it out, and they just get it done. That, you don't even notice this happening. It happens. Things are good. But this whole book talks about how to get that mindset without waiting till last minute.
Till last minute.
Yeah.
What's the fun in that, Leland?
Yeah. I love these little books where there's this nice little to apply strategies to help your life, to try, give it a shot. You don't have to invest 3 months and then it's like, okay, now you can use this. It's just like, give it a shot.
Well, you might like Tiny Habits.
Oh, I like Tiny Habits.
We have it in... What's down outside Leslie's box?
So I think the one I put on that list is Why We Sleep. I can't think of the author. But he's like a scientist that talks about sort of the process behind it and how you can change behavior to make your life better by sleeping. And then one that I would add now to that list is Breathe by James Nestor.
You've talked about that before, Tyler.
Yeah, it just talks about that. So he did he's just like a journalist, but he did an experiment another guy where they literally plugged their nose and only could breathe through their mouth for like 30 days and then they and how miserable life was basically. But he went to a lot of he interviewed a lot of scientists and other things. So basically the overall theme of the book is breathe in and out of your nose more. It's pretty much and it'll change your life. But the studies behind it and everything, it was just really good. So it's a well written book. So yeah.
You know, I have one to add. So the author's name is James Clear, and it's called Atomic Habits, and tying in with that tiny changes. So it's tiny changes, remarkable results, an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones. So it's kind of like demolishing the bad habits, creating new habits. And then in my office space, Charles Swindoll, he's written a book, and it's called Laugh Again. And that's just kind of presents ways to live in the present and to say no to negativism and realize that while no one's life is perfect, joy and humor can still be a routinely experienced. Plus, he wrote the attitude, that long attitude. So, yeah.
One, I grabbed one more just because we've had a lot of conversations mm-hmm. here at the Iowa Department for the Mind about crucial conversations, tools for talking when the stakes are high by Carrie Patterson, yeah. And just how to actively listen, how to be persuasive, how to stay focused on what the topic at hand. So I know we've talked a lot about that one, and I went to a training on that, and there are good techniques from that I remember after the conversation. No, I'm just kidding. After the conversation in West Iowa.
I feel like this area is so hard to find really good resources for everyone. Because one strategy that works for someone doesn't do anything for someone else. Mm-hmm. So it's really something that you have to kind of pick and choose and peruse and be open-minded.
Like, apparently for mm-hmm. me, building habits probably isn't going to get very far with me. Not good ones.
They're not going anywhere.
Maybe they're big habits, not tiny. And I don't know. Another one I grabbed that I think fits with your podcast was Radical Candor, Be a Kick-Ass Boss Without Losing Your Humanity by Kim Scott. And just looks at, basically argues that the use of honesty, often painfully candid, in the management of personnel, presents strategies of doing so through covering the topics of relationships, guidance, team building, ownership of results, establishing trust, all of that. Avoiding burnout.
Sounds good.
It does.
And that's the episode I listened to, so... Do we have any more books before I move to the podcast? No? Okay, so we're sleeping, breathing, building habits.
Tiny yeah. habits.
Focusing.
Good habits.
Focusing and having crucial conversations.
Yeah. All the things that if you could do all that very well, I feel like you're doing well at life. And especially the breathing.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
That's an easy one. Breathe in your house. That's all you gotta do. Yeah. That's
all you gotta do. I'm gonna remember that every time I... Not breathing through my nose now. I feel like.
See, I read that book.
I just want to shut my mouth off.
I read that book in the height of mask wearing during COVID. And so, like, I noticed how much I was just mouth breathing everywhere when I had a mask on. So, it really took me a long time to get it figured out with the mask on. Because, like, if you really, like, mask wearing is all mouth breathing. That's all you do the whole time.
And you're totally right, Denise. The whole idea of breathing it through your nose, out your mouth, is something that I've explored a lot too. They say that if you do that kind of flow, it actually helps circulate air into your system better.
Yep.
If you're breathing through your nose and out your mouth. So that's also kind of a fun thing. Yeah, it's definitely something you sit there, you're like, wait, am I doing it? I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
Wait, oh, I stopped doing it. Yeah. So let's all, you know, cross your
right
legs
now,
and let's do a little
bit. Turn this into an ASMR podcast. Breathe heavily into the mic.
Listen to the sounds of the ocean, the seagulls.
Makes me
so peaceful.
So on that note, let's talk about the podcast.
Okay, let's try to focus back in.
So coffee break. I wrote down a little bit about it. Do you want me to read that? So podcast is by Eric Cloward. Cloward? I'm looking at Leland.
Clower?
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 Okay.
I think it's
Clower. C-L-O-W-A-R-D. And the tagline for it is, act on your principles, not your moods. And just a short summary was, it's a weekly meditation on how Stoic principles can help you be a better human. And I have to admit, when you sent this, I looked at just the part you sent, mm-hmm. and I had to Google some stuff. Because I was like, I don't know what this means. So, but I read his about page on the website you sent, and I felt like he was kind of talking to me.
Yeah. Yeah, he does that. Yes. He does that a lot.
Because this is what it said. So, and for you guys in the room, just picture me reading this. So, it's not about being an accidental philosopher, but the piece where he discusses, I'm just going to read this from the site. Seeing a worldview that was not devoid of emotion, but a framework to test your opinions against which give events and circumstances their proper weight. Being Stoic simply means that you choose how you want to let things affect you rather than being at the whim of life circumstances. And he also goes on to talk about he has a short fuse and how he found this to calm his brain, which may or may not be applicable to me.
See that at all? Does anyone know?
Yeah. As I always say, I need to mull this over because my first reaction will not get us anywhere.
You're passionate.
I really love the fact that he tries to be very down to earth. You know, he doesn't, you know, try to be like, oh, I'm perfect. Mm-hmm. A lot of the episodes, he will bring up examples and be like, yeah, so this topic I'm talking about, like, I almost didn't want to do it because I'm going to sound kind of like a hypocrite, but, like, I really struggle with this. But this is a good idea. Like, if you can do it, great. I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. And it just really speaks to me and the idea of we're all human, mm-hmm. right? Even if you know how you should be acting, how you should, you know, react to situations, sometimes you just can't. And it is a process. And he acknowledges that, and it's just really cool.
I listened to the one on radical candor because of the, I was like, oh, I want to hear what he says since they're the book. And he actually compared it to Star Trek and the Klingons. Do you remember their kind of philosophy was to be honest?
Just be as open, as honest as you can, yeah.
But his whole thing about the radical candor is it's not like a license to be like mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't, that's not what this is about. So he, mm-hmm. no, it was really good. And I appreciate his perspective on that after reading the book. So I liked it.
I didn't mind. It was a mindfulness quote. It was just like how, like, you don't have to be quiet in a room mm-hmm. to be mindful. Like, you can do it, like, in loud places so that you exist in the world. Like, you don't have to be sitting in a corner, like, with a candle and thinking about how mindful you were that day. So that's what I liked about it. It was just a different take. Yeah. So, no, it was good.
Yeah, I listened to the Space Between, so I'm guessing, Tyler, you probably listened to that because it was right at the top.
Yeah, and that was the first one.
It was really good, and it kind of talked about, yeah, the power to choose our response and to practice awareness, and just, again, the mindfulness with the breathing.
There you go.
And not control over, you got to stay calm. That's when we think clearly. And then it talked about the monkey mind. I don't know what that meant exactly. It's just that you have too many, you're racing, you're just going too quickly, too many things going around is my take on it. And then this word, I'll probably need help enunciating it, equanimity.
Equanimity.
Yeah, aqua lady. No. See, you can say whatever you want. Yes. It's all good, yes. Leland. See, they always help you out. So, yeah, just the not control over, just stay calm. So they're just, I found that I really got gobbled up in it, and I actually shared, I said, Emily, Leland suggested this podcast as she's walking by. I said, you should listen to these. You might like these. She's a podcast person, too. So.
And I love the fact that this podcast, you really can suggest it to anyone. And if you look, I'm sure you can find a episode or two that you would really enjoy and could even, like, be like, whoa, this is speaking to me right now. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people, if I'm exploring something, I'll pick and choose a little bit, then I'll start from the beginning. Did anyone listen to the first couple? Because I think it's really cool how this whole thing started. Because he admits doing a podcast was on his list to do for a long time, and he'd never really sat down and did it. He was just overwhelmed by it and talked through that whole process. And he kind of spins this narrative out over a couple podcasts and just kind of hints at things. And it's just so real and just shows that he's a person, which I really approve of that stuff. So here he's talking about how he does these podcasts at the start, you wake up in the morning, write that, pick a topic, find a quote, you know, write it all down, have an idea of what he's going to do, and then in the car, do some test recordings, you know, drive in traffic, just talking to himself, and then when he gets to work, sit in the parking lot, record real quick on his phone, and that was the podcast. It wasn't anything big, grand, elaborate. Mm-hmm. He was just needing to get it done. Real. Just do it, and then it's going to get so much easier to mm-hmm. keep a podcast going. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was just so real, because I definitely get distracted. I have this big, grand idea and scheme, like, I want to do this. Oh my gosh, there's so much to it. I don't know where to start. I just get overwhelmed. I put it off. I just don't do it. You can't get anywhere if you don't start. And that is also another podcast, I think, towards the beginning. Was the
it
whole
was.
Idea.
It was talking about the longevity or
I love that they're also like 5 minutes long. So, anyone can sit down and have the time for it.
Any last thoughts? Books? Podcasts?
You did good, Leland. I'm going to listen to more of these.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Leland. I appreciate it. Thanks for giving us a topic. And we always feel a little guilty about how we've set this year up. We put it all on our guests.
It was so nice.
On the podcast. I like it.
I'm glad I could make it easy.
You did, Leland. You did.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today for our December 2021 Library Chat episode. Thank you, Leland, for being our special guest and sharing with us today. So glad that you are on the library team.
Yes. I'm glad to be here.
Yes.
If you've missed any of our earlier episodes, the podcast, along with a book list, is available on our library blog, iowalibrary.blog. You can also find episodes from our other library podcasts, Library News, and Braille Bits on the library blog as well. Thanks for listening, and we will chat with you next month.
Bye. Next year.
Next year.
It'll be next year.
Wow. We will chat in 2022.